The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
It started as a whisper until you screamed it at the top of your lungs. We gained momentum. You made us unstoppable. We had a vision for change. You made it a revolution. We told you we are the future, until you told us the future is now.
We are NXT!
Hello, and welcome to episode 9 of the NXT cast. I'm your host, Don DeLaurente, and I'm joined by my co-host, my NXT correspondent, Miss Simi. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just, you know, enthralled and caught up in everything that's going on in the country right now. Pandemic, demonstrations, protests, stuff on fire.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Try not to get overwhelmed.
Yeah, taking my few little, you know, wrestling breaks here and there when I can from what's going on in real life, and then getting back to, you know, the struggle and what people are fighting for. So, just definitely a great time to see this change happening. And if Randy Orton can see the light, then there's hope for a whole lot of other people out there.
Like, when that happened, I was like, plot twist of the damn century. The fuck?
I'm still baffled. I would still like to have an in-depth conversation like Ms. Dee Dee asked for last week about, like, how did you get here? Who was it?
Right. Like, who gave you a book? Was it Xavier now? He was like, listen, we got to talk.
Who set you down?
Right. And was like, listen, all right, you took a picture with the Migos. Right. Let's unpack this.
You know what people was thinking about you in our community when they saw that picture?
Exactly.
And then you want to come out here with, all this BS about some all lives and stuff. It's like, that's not like how it works.
We crowned you All Lives Orton. And now, what?
Yeah, right? It's like, man, we changing the narrative on us, Randy.
Right.
But
I mean, appreciate it. But
Right. It's like the end of Rocky IV. If I can change, if you can change, we all can change. probably, maybe the best Rocky out of all of them.
Really?
Yes. Rocky III is really good just because Mr. T is hilarious. But yeah, the message that they're trying to put in Rocky IV is pretty good.
I think I only saw Rocky I. And like the other, all I know is like, if he dies, he dies. That's all I got.
Oh yeah, that's Rocky IV right there.
Oh, okay.
That's the genesis for the Creed movies.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe I will watch it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you gotta. That's a classic. You gotta have that in your life. What we also think could be a classic, maybe possibly, is going to take place not Saturday, but Sunday night.
Yeah.
It's NXT TakeOver In Your House. First time the In Your House moniker has been used in almost 20 years. I think 1990, almost 30 years, probably 1997, 98 might have been the last year that they had the In Your House branded stuff. So a throwback for sure, but NXT style. Very interested to see how this set looks. I want them to have the old In Your House set for NXT. I really do.
I'm excited for it because I've been liking the like little quarantine matches that they've done. So I can't wait.
So on this card, we're going to have a 6 women's tag team match as Mia Yim, Tegan Nox, and Shotzi Blackheart. They're going to take on Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, and Raquel Gonzalez. So like we did a couple of weeks ago for our last week, a couple of weeks ago in the dark match for Double or Nothing. We'll play Who You Got just between the two of us, just to, you know, make it fun and give your thoughts on who you want to win and why. So I'll let you go first. Who you got in the six women's tag team match?
Oh, I got Mia Yim. Mia Yim and them. Because I love Mia Yim. I love Shotzi. She can die. So I got them. Because they've been kind of getting beat up a little bit by the heel. So I think it's kind of like going to have some retribution happening.
This blatant disrespect to Tegan Nox has got to quit.
Listen. All right.
It's
happening.
It's just got to stop. There's nothing wrong with her.
I guess. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with her. She's just, man.
She's Captain Marvel.
I guess. She's cool, I guess. I'm not really that into her. I'm sorry, Donald.
I know. I've been trying to get you to come over, but it's just not happening. She's gonna have to do something impressive on her own to sway your opinions and thoughts.
I guess. She's just gonna have to do it. And it's not because she's a baby face, because I love baby faces. So I don't know. It's just something. I'm just like, yeah. I think it's the Dakota thing.
Oh, yeah.
She's not a good friend. That's what it was. I was like, you are not a good friend. I hear geek laughing while they're saying Dakota's not good enough. Friendship means nothing to you. That was what it was. That's probably what it was.
Our next matchup sees the Prince, Finn Balor, taking on Damian Priest. So, Miss Simi, I know who you got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My man, Benjamin Lee Balor. That's what I have. Gonna take it. I'm never gonna go against Finn. Yeah, it's not gonna do it.
I know. Yeah. I'm kind of torn on this one because I guess I should go with Finn Balor too, though, because it's gonna help my narrative.
You do what you feel, but I'm just saying.
Of Finn getting up into the title picture eventually here.
Mm-hmm. Has to. Give him a title. He deserves.
Next matchup for the North American title, Johnny Gargano is going to challenge Keith Lee. So, Miss Simi, who you got?
See. This is hard because I feel like they're kind of like leaning Johnny towards the North American Championship again, because maybe they might slot Keith Lee and replace him with Dream. Mm-hmm. But I have Keith Lee retaining.
Okay.
Even though he carries that belt like a damn satchel. Fine. Not fine, but I still got him retaining.
I really like Keith Lee.
I do.
That's the only issue I have is dude.
Yeah.
Don't carry the belt like a dang on suitcase. It's a title. Right. Wear it around your waist. Or at least fold the two straps up and carry it, like cradle it.
Right. Drape it over your shoulder.
Yeah. I'm not really.
It like it's a carry-on bag. I hate it. I'm not
really a big fan of people slinging it over their shoulder. But okay, if you can make it look lovingly and caring. Yes, it will pass. I am a big fan of what Braun Strowman is doing, wearing the belt. If Braun Strowman can wear the Universal title, Keith Lee can wear the North American title.
Yeah. So that's the only thing. I'm like, why are you swinging it around like this, sir? When he came out to save Mia Yim, like, we'll talk about it, but like, why did he swing that shit around like that? It got on my nerves. The one thing
he's treating that belt like, you might not get this reference, but Naito treated the Intercontinental Championship in New Japan.
Oh.
He was like, it's basically not the big belt I want, but it's the belt I got. So, I mean, he would sling it when he come down to the ring, like he would throw it into the, like he dented the shit.
Oh no, see, that's just disrespectful.
Exactly.
I like that.
Yeah, me and Naito fell out a little bit there. I mean, he's like my favorite, one of my favorite New Japan guys. But yeah, I was on some like, oh gosh, Naito, right. You're making it hard for me right now, buddy.
Right. Like, it's a belt. You got to respect it.
Right. I think Keith Lee is going to win the title. Retain the title here as well. In a grudge match, Tommaso Ciampa is going to face Karrion Kross.
Yeah. I have Ciampa.
I think he's going to get it. I have Karrion Kross with a little help from Scarlett.
Yeah, that's the caveat. If he wins, it's going to be because of my girl, Scarlett. But I still have Ciampa because, my man Ciampa.
yeah, he is Mr. Takeover. Well, him and Johnny
both
are Mr. Takeover. For the NXT women's title, there's a three-way between Rhea Ripley, Io Shirai, and Charlotte Flair. So, Miss Simi, who you got?
I got Io Shirai. She better win this damn title. Because if one of those other ones won it, I'm going to be mad. Okay. I just am. I like Charlotte. But I don't think her winning the title was really... It didn't do what they said it was going to do. Like, elevate all this stuff and da-da-da. And I was just like, meh. I want Io to get this.
I think
that
I think they've just overexposed Charlotte in the past month and a half since WrestleMania, just because, you know, she's everywhere. It's like, dang, I turn on NXT, I expect you to be here, but then I turn on Raw, you're over there. I turn on SmackDown, you're over there. I turn on NXT the next week, you're there. I turn on Raw the next week, you're there. She'll probably be on SmackDown on Friday. And it's just like, this is too much, Charlotte Flair.
Too much.
It's like, can we replace this with some Sasha Banks or some Naomi? Can one of them get that time?
Right. Give Liv Morgan some shine.
Right. The only person in disagreement, Shaolin Shogun.
Listen, Sean, I feel you. I know.
He's like,
I got it.
There's never enough Charlotte Flair.
Listen, you can go YouTube a whole bunch of clips of her. You can. That's all we have the internet for. I don't need her. It's too much. It's just too much.
And then our main event of the evening, Velveteen Dream is challenging Adam Cole for the NXT title in a backlot brawl.
I got Velveteen Dream. They've been stringing this out for way too long. And the whole, like, if he does it, if he, like, loses this time, he can't go back to it, all this stuff. I think Velveteen is going to get it.
I think Velveteen Dream is going to win it again this time as well, just because the incident that probably kept him from winning it the first time hasn't resurfaced. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been any new revelations or any further transgressions. So I think that, this may be his time. And... couldn't have come at a better time as far as how things are going in the country. He'll be the first black NXT champion, heavyweight champion, or main champion. So, it's been Seth Rollins. I think, like, I want to say it was like Seth Rollins, Bo Dallas. Who was a champion?
Did
Sammy was a champion, then Kevin Owens, then Finn, then Samoa Joe, then I want to say it was Bobby Roode, then Drew, then Andrade, then Johnny Gargano, then Ciampa.
Andrade was a champion?
Yep.
Oh wait, I think I knew that. I think there was because he like tortured Johnny for a dumb line.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was the lineage of the NXT championship from when I remember. I might have missed like one person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so that is going to be this Sunday starting at 7 p.m. Share your commentary with Color by using the hashtag #CastTakeover. You will definitely see me and Miss Simi in the hashtags, and hopefully we will see you there as well.
I won't be in the hashtag on a Tuesday night because I got to work. But I'll be there. I'll be there in spirit.
So we'll get into NXT proper for this week. We start off hot. Candice LeRae versus Mia Yim, as promised last week. Candice jumps Mia before the bell for the quick advantage. A forearm by Mia knocks Candice to the outside. Mia continues the assault on the outside. She gets Candice in the wheelbarrow position and then just runs her into the slings her into the guardrail. They continue to brawl on the ground outside the ring, and both women get counted out. So the fight goes up to the stage. Mia wants to powerbomb Candice, it looks like, into the LED board, but Candice counters into a Hurricane Rana that sends Mia into the LED board instead, and she breaks it. That's when Tegan Nox runs out to pull Candice off of Mia Yim. As she does that, Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez attack Mia. Man, Dakota Kai gave her a mean kick to the head.
Yo, the way she like ran in there and just like went back. Oh my God, it made me laugh. It shouldn't have, but God damn it, I laughed. Ooh, it was as good as when Nyla hit Hikaru with that kendo stick. I don't know, just like the quickness with which she came out of the back and it just went stop. Ooh, ooh, I laughed. It was so good.
That's when Shotzi Blackheart hits the scene and tosses Dakota from the little NXT platform. It's only like maybe 2 or 3 feet high. But man, she slung her off of that thing.
She did. I was like, go, Shotzi.
So the officials break things up, but Mia takes out Candice again. That's when Johnny Gargano shows up, and that gives Candice an opening to go back and attack Mia. That's when Keith Lee arrives and causes the Garganos to hit the ring. They scurry out before a team Yemen list, get it? Mia Yim, Keith Lee, can get to them. Then while Johnny and Candice are mocking that they got away, it's announced that this has now become a mixed tag match.
Yay!
It's the only thing I don't like about WWE. They just blew through two matches in like 30 minutes.
I know. Yeah. I was just like, you could have saved this.
Yeah.
Saved this.
Yeah, you could have definitely saved this. You could have saved this to after the takeover.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, whatever could have happened in the six women tag could have happened. Whatever happened in the championship match could have happened. And then the next week, you could have been like, main event, unsettled issues still between these four. These two NXT power couples.
We got to let the storylines, like, linger a little bit more.
Right, right. Everything doesn't have to. That's the only thing that AEW does that is so much better is they don't necessarily rush to wrap everything up in a month.
Right.
And the space between their pay-per-views helps them accomplish that.
Right. You're a soap opera. You got to build. You got to build storylines. Baby switches don't get resolved in a month. It takes a year.
Right. So now it's Candice LeRae and Johnny Gargano versus Keith Lee and Mia Yim. Johnny scurries from Keith Lee, but he gets slammed to the inside of the ring. Keith Lee beats up Johnny with ease until Johnny uses his car keys to stab Keith Lee in the eyes when Keith Lee went to powerbomb him. So that causes Mia Yim to come check on Keith Lee, and as she's doing that, she's the legal woman. She gets rolled up by Candice, and the Garganos steal the victory.
Johnny Gargano does like cowardly heel so well. He plays that so perfectly. Yeah, like one of my favorite moments was when like Candice jumped on Keith Lee's back and he was like wearing that girl like a backpack. Oh, that was great. She was just like, yeah, and he was just like, oh, no big deal.
No,
just
what was
in the ring.
No, what was real funny was when like she had knocked Candice out of the ring and she was and Mia was staring at Gargano like, you want some of this? Get your ass in.
Right.
And he was like, nah, hold on. You got on wrestling gear. I don't even have my gear.
Yeah. He was like, I can't go in there. I don't have clothes.
Just cause I got clothes on. So after the match, Keith Lee is still trying to get to Johnny Gargano, and his hand kind of like slips in between the ring post and the steps. And Johnny Gargano runs and kicks the steps into his hand and wrist. And then as Keith Lee is in pain, he grabs the North American title, poses with it, and lays it down in front of the In Your House little insignia they have on the floor.
I was like, ooh, building. Yes. Build storylines. I thought he was going to steal it. I was just like, not again.
Pull a Mr. Brody Lee. Not more
thievery. Right. I was like, not more thievery.
What did you think of the mixed tag and the singles matches all combined as this one big 30 minutes of NXT to start off?
Again, I wish they wouldn't run through all these matches like that, because they could have saved it. But I love a brawl. I love brawls. So when they all like started fighting on the outside, I was like, yes, good. And Candace and Johnny do like the cowardly heel, the like underhanded things, they do that really well. So I'm excited for like the limitless ones versus the Garganos.
That's funny. We get a video package that's here to hype Tommaso Ciampa versus Karrion Kross this Sunday at the Takeover In Your House. Ciampa wants him to bring his A game because he thinks that his A game is just a little bit better.
This was a good promo. I wanted more Scarlett, but that's just selfish on my part.
Now for what we've been asking for about a month, Dexter Lumis. He's getting interviewed about the Velveteen Dream versus Adam Cole. He doesn't say anything. He just walks off set. And when he returns, he has a clipboard easel and he starts to draw as we go to commercial break.
Who is this man? Now you're a painter. What's going on? Who are you?
It's just an original Bob Ross here.
Oh, God. No, Bob Ross was coming. You're a devil man and you scare me. I don't want to learn painting from you. I want you to get an exorcism.
Next up, we have the Prime Target. The hype video that they have for this one's going to be Adam Cole versus Velveteen Dream. We see Adam Cole getting picked up in a limo by the Undisputed Era, including our first sight of Kyle O'Reilly in like 2 months. Yay! He's got like a full ginger beard. If Beauty Jonay saw that, she's like, I don't know who that man is, but he might be my new fave.
I was very into it. I was like, Kyle O'Reilly, he's back, and he has a beard and a spiffy little hat. I was here for it. I missed him in his air guitaring. Yes.
Right. So meanwhile, Velveteen Dream, they show him rollerblading along a like boardwalk or something like that, and actually it's a parking lot.
Memory lane.
Yeah, it's probably the parking lot where this match is going to take place. He's rollerblading through the parking lot where Undisputed Era attacked him months ago. Elsewhere, Adam Cole and the boys, they're sharing drinks and they're toasting to the title reign. Velveteen Dream discusses pinning Adam Cole and how he's a star at just 24. Dream then talks into his magic mirror to see who will be the first NXT champion of all time. And I can't say this any other way but to say a fake version of the Prince appears to say that it's going to be the Velveteen Dream.
It's Prince impersonator.
There we go, Prince impersonator. Then we get Peter Rosenberg, Sam Roberts, Pat McAfee, and Drew McIntyre all share their thoughts on the upcoming matchup. Pat McAfee compared the Velveteen Dream to Dennis Rodman, that he's a flamboyant character, but when he gets in the ring, he gets his job done. And they again reiterate that this will be a back lot brawl.
Yes. It still fucks Sam Roberts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Always in this house. When I heard his little high-pitched voice, I was like, get the fuck out of here. Oh. I hate him.
Now, always, forever.
Forever. Freaking hater ass bitch. I hate you. Now that I actually know who you are. Before I was just like, who is this hating ass man? Who are you? Why are you here?
Dexter Loomis has finished his drawing and it shows him driving O'Reilly, Strong, and Bobby Fish around like in a car or something. So I guess if they try to get involved in the match, then he's got something up his sleeve is kind of what he's trying to, I guess.
To
us. It's kind of like a foreshadowing.
Yeah. I was like, so this girl stayed here this whole time while he painted this? Okay. I would have been like, call me when you're done because I have things to do. All right. I got to go. Bye.
Isaiah Swerve Scott and his new music for this episode.
Oh my God. Against, yeah, it's like a damn theme song.
Against Tony Nese. Like, damn. You know what? I was intently going, I'm not going to try to make it a big deal if he comes out here and he's got different music. And then as soon as he comes out there, it's like, damn, that shit's different again.
Right. It's like, if you don't make up your mind, what is it?
Yeah, that's the whole point of having the song is that people know who it is when they come out and what to expect.
Right. What happened to that? Like, I just like the one where it just said his name over and over again because it was catchy.
I like the one that was kind of like a jazz hip hop joint. I mean, he's only had about 8 since he's
been
in NXT. Right.
Every time it's like, it's the remix. No, stop. Damn it. Pick one. You can't change theme songs like stocks.
Right.
You gotta pick one.
Exactly. So, well, just give me the whole catalog and I'll run through each and every one of them and see which one I like. And I'll give you an answer, you know, next year.
Right. Jesus Christ. When the coronavirus is over, he'll have a theme song. Right. Come on.
Permanent. So Isaiah Scott versus Tony Nese. Jack Gallagher comes out distracting Isaiah Swerve Scott, so everybody take a drink. Nese fails to capitalize as he gets pulled into a sunset flip, and Isaiah Swerve Scott picks up the win. Gallagher rushes the ring and they try to do some harm, but Isaiah Scott's too swift for that. He gets out of the ring and he celebrates.
It was nice to see old Jack Gallagher.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's your guy. I'm excited for him.
Yeah. And a nice suit. I'm like, yes. Hello, sir. This was a good match with Tony Nese and Swerve Scott. I like this a lot.
Yeah. Swerve Scott actually showed a lot of aggression in this match. Usually he comes out with the little laid back swag or whatever, kind of dancing and bopping to his music. But this week, he was focused. He went straight to the ring and, he yanked Nese out of the ring and threw him into the ring steps. Yeah, he was being real aggressive.
I liked it.
Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan versus the Undisputed Era versus a mystery tag team in an NXT Tag Team Championship number one contenders match. And the mystery tag team is
Breezango.
Oh my, it's Tyler.
I was so happy when I saw, as soon as I saw that random, I was just like, Oh, don't tell me. And they count check the Breezango.
And they came out as astronauts.
Yeah. Oh, I love them. I miss them.
This is a, typical tag team three-way match. You know, everybody's kind of getting a chance to shine here and there. And so there's a little bit of interaction between the Undisputed Era and Breezango, and the Undisputed Era, they get thrown off because Dexter Loomis is amongst the NXT people in the audience. That sets up Bobby Fish to eat the beauty shot, followed by the leg drop, and Breezango get the win and are the new number one contenders for the NXT tag team titles.
Yes, this was such a good match. These six showed right out, and I was just like, I love tag team wrestling. This is so good.
Anytime Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan are in a match, it's going to be good. And then especially if they give them some guys who can really go with them.
Yeah.
They produce some really good matches.
Yeah. Because Breezango, they're like a comedy match, but they're really good at wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like, they can go.
So I was just like, oh, I love this match. This is so good.
Yeah, Breezango is really good. Tyler Breeze was one of my original NXT just favorites when I first started watching.
Mm-hmm. He's so good. Like, even just like hearing him speak about wrestling and like his experience. Like, I don't, do you listen to the New Day pod?
Mm-hmm.
So like that episode where they had him on, I was just like, yo, you can talk forever. And then he had an interview with Chris Van Burton. But they interviewed him about like his experience and by his school and stuff. And like, he's so like knowledgeable and like passionate about it. And I'm like, yo, you deserve more.
Right.
He's so good.
After the match, Imperium walks out for a closer look at Breezango. And then behind them walks up Malcolm Bivens and Indashir.
Where did they go? They like disappeared for like a month.
They probably got the heck out of the country when the corona
hit. Oh, that's true. Dang.
Or they were, a lot of people got caught off guard because, you know, things started happening. I think that was on like a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you weren't on the card to be on NXT, you were probably at home or, you know, whatever. And then once they started shutting everything down and you couldn't travel or only by car and then things like that, depending on, you know, if you weren't within probably a reasonable distance, which would probably be about 4 to 5 hours, they probably were just like, stay where you are. You know, we've got enough people that we can use.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, don't get sick.
Yeah. Because these two, I didn't even like know their names for like the first like maybe week or two they were on because they never said it.
Right.
I was just like, who are you? Malcolm, what is your name?
Malcolm Bivens and his associates is kind of what they were kind of branding them as.
I was just like, I don't know who you are. And then they like disappear. So it was just like, what happened?
Yeah, it's weird because at the same time that they're starting to like regenerate new storylines, they're trying to incorporate some of the old ones too. And I don't know if people remember that one as much.
Yeah,
as,
that's the problem.
You know, some of the other things.
They kind of gotta get like reintroduced, basically. It's like I don't remember who you are.
Right. And I think they only had like maybe one or two matches, so you didn't really get a chance for them to make like a huge impression on you as well.
Right.
So we see a clip backstage after the Chelsea Green, Charlotte Flair tag team where they were victorious over Io Shirai and Rhea Ripley last week. Chelsea and Robert Stone were interviewed. Chelsea had put over Robert Stone brand, but then said that she's now the hottest she's ever been, so he's fired.
Like, okay. I think he's the one that made you hot, Chelsea. But okay, I guess.
You know, some people forget that, you know, they didn't get there by themselves, you know. She was like, yo, this star is on fire, so I got to capitalize. Thank you for getting me. Thank you for leveling me up. And now I'm on to something bigger and better.
And now it's time to go. Bye.
Aaliyah versus Santana Garrett. Robert Stone comes out to observe. Santana Garrett hits a Trish Stratus like handstand Hurricane Rana in the corner before she hits a handspring moonsault. And my girl, Santana Garrett, gets the win.
Yay. She finally won something, finally.
There were two people like 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, that even in the midst of the horsewomen and all their success, Sasha Bailey, Becky, you know, doing their thing in NXT, there were two women who came in for a cup of coffee that were like, you know what? I don't know how Triple H did not hold on to them. Tessa Blanchard, who we've seen, we may know why they didn't hold on to her now.
Yeah.
And Santana Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
I could not figure out for the life of me after they had the why Santana Garrett was not on this roster. Mm-hmm. Like, she is so good.
Hopefully she gets more.
Yeah, she's got her first win, so now she'll start getting into like a program with somebody. Eventually they'll find something for her.
Where is Vanessa Bourne?
That's a good question. She may be in quarantine too, or just, you know, not traveling from wherever her home is. I think she lives in Arizona.
But even before then, though, she was just like not around.
Because her and Aaliyah are kind of like a duo, but now we've kind of got Aaliyah doing some solo things.
Because I liked her.
Yeah, Vanessa Bourne's dope. We have another prime target. This one's for the women's match. Io Shirai discusses how being alone makes her stronger and how Rhea and Charlotte should be scared of her. Meanwhile, Rhea Ripley gets up at 5:30 in the morning despite not having to go into work because she wants to be the best her that she can be. She says that she reached incredible highs at the end of 2019, but Charlotte Flair put a stop to that. Charlotte Flair is at the PC to talk about how crazy it is to be a takeover again. She said when the crowd chanted, "You don't go here," it kind of baffled her because she was like, "I made here." Charlotte talks about what the takeover means to her career, how much the first takeover where she won the women's match with Natty got the belt. She talks about how that, you know, got all eyes on her and helped her, you know, get to the point she is today. Rhea says she challenged Charlotte so she could be on WrestleMania and have a dream match, even if it resulted in a roadblock. Then Io Shirai gets put over by various people like Natalya, Beth Phoenix, and Peter Rosenberg. They talk about her accomplishments and how everyone is captivated by her. Basically, they talked about her Japan career, how she started training when she was like, what did they say, 12?
Yeah.
And
I'm really young.
Yeah, she was in like judo and all these other things. Mm-hmm. And then she went into wrestling and how she won all the belts and all the tournaments and just basically the most decorated. After Asuka, the most decorated Japanese woman wrestler of the modern, you know, times. So just a really good background. I like the Io Shirai stuff the most out of everybody.
Me too.
Know, Charlotte and Rhea, we know where they are. We see their vibe. They've had the big push. Like, they've had the spotlight. But Io, that's the first time she's had that type of focus on her.
Like, it was like EO had, like, the cinematic. It was dramatic. It was intriguing. And then Panteria, it was just like, oh, let me make a protein shake and go to the gym. I was like, okay. I don't like this. Yeah, I like the EO Shirai part more. I was just like, let's have more of that. Let's have more of her.
All right. Speaking of people who are making their returns, the resident thick boy, Bronson Reed. Yes! Oh, 330 plus pounds. He's back on the scene and he's going up against Cameron Grimes.
Yeah, Cameron Grimes, he's grown on me. He gets so excited and makes me happy.
He's turned it up. Like, he was walking to the ring. He's like, yep, y'all are right where y'all supposed to be. In the crowd, looking at me. Looking at me. They were booing him and giving him the blues. So Bronson Reed is just whooping Cameron Grimes' ass throughout this whole match, but he misses a top rope splash. That gives Cameron Grimes just enough opening to hit the cave in, and Cameron Grimes is your winner.
Oh, I wanted my thick boy to win, but I do like Cameron Grimes.
he's like, yep. That's exactly how I beat Finn Balor, and that's how they're all going to lose.
I was low-key expecting Finn to just, like, pop up again, like, what you say? You said my name? Me? Again? Didn't we learn?
Well, just as he gets through talking his trash in the camera, he turns around and Karrion Kross is behind him. Cameron Grimes is smart. He's like, oh, I saw a good player. He rolls himself right on out of the ring. And that's when Karrion Kross picks up Big Bronson Reed, hits him with the Doomsday Saito suplex. Then he gets up in the camera. He talks to Ciampa through the camera and says, this Sunday is going to be special. Tick tock.
That's was rude. Like, he already lost, Karrion. Why you gotta make it worse? Yeah.
Insult to injury.
Jesus. You could have just talked to shit. You could have just let him roll right on out of the ring. God, Karrion. Why you gotta do him like that?
Nah, it wouldn't be, you know, Hill Life Supreme if you just let him be.
Sometimes you can be nice. Give him a little twist.
Next up, it's an announcement about the six women tag match that we previewed in our Who You Got segment. Tegan Nox, Mia Yim, Shotzi, going up against Candice, Dakota, and Raquel. And now it's time for our main event of the evening. Drake Maverick versus Ilo Del Fantasma for the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. Actually, it's for the NXT Cruiserweight Championship because Devlin, what's his name? Jordan Devlin is his name. No longer is the champion. They have stripped him of the belt.
Oh.
Yep. And that is unfortunate because, you know, he couldn't help it.
Right. It's not his fault the corona came. He didn't manufacture it.
Right. And it's not his fault he don't live in America. He lives in a whole other continent with a big ocean in between us. It's not his fault
you put the belt on him when you know he lives in another country.
Right.
This is on you.
It's like, you know, something could happen where he might not be able to get in the country for a month.
Right.
Things or two. And now you got things that are happening because of that.
They got NXT UK. People watch that? I don't know. I don't. But I don't know if people watch it.
Some people do. We watch the takeover parts. Yeah, whenever they have a takeover, yeah, we're all about that because I don't need to know too many storylines at a takeover because they're going to do a great job on the recap. It's going to catch me up, and that's going to be all I need pretty much for that. Next up, we have the match that takes place. This is kind of funny because your boy does some kind of heel stuff. He shakes Drake Maverick's hand in the beginning, and then when Drake kind of like lets his guard down during the handshake, he tries to roll him up and pin him like right then. And Drake's like, really? Really?
Right? He was like, come on, man. Yo, Drake's freaking, like, cries of agony and pain. I was just like, you guys, stop. You were going to dislocate his shoulder. It got me in the heart place. He just kept screaming, ah, no, stop. I was just like, stop. Do you not hear him screaming? He's begging you. Leave him alone.
The mysterious mask dudes. They walk out the track because what happens is Phantasma is outside of the ring and the mask dudes are coming out. It looks like do some damage to him. And Drake Maverick takes it upon himself to take those guys out with a tope suicida. He punches and kicks them, sends them to the back. But when Drake gets back into the ring, he walks right into a super kick. The Phantom Driver by Phantasma connects. And Phantasma is your new NXT Cruiserweight Champion.
So Mr. Samuel Kalinga had a theory that the masked men and El Hijo de Phantasma are working together. And I was like, maybe. I need to know motive. So that's an interesting theory that we can start working on now.
Yeah. And that's very interesting. It looked like they might have been kind of in cahoots the way this worked out because it was a huge distraction.
I was just like, interesting. They pulled them a heartstring because damn, Drake Maverick was out here crying and all this. I was just like, really, guys? So this is what we're going to do? We're going to try to make me cry and feel things.
Sure are, because the folks in the stands are giving Drake a standing ovation. They're chanting, we still love you. Drake talks to them and thanks everyone who has supported him. So Drake's kind of walking up, Durant backwards, just kind of taking the scene all in. Triple H comes out, shakes his hand, puts his hand around his neck, gives him kind of a good bear hug, and then he hands him a contract. That brings Drake to tears, gives him a pen. Drake doesn't read the contract, just signs it, which I wouldn't have advised him to do. But he did. Triple H signs it, and they embrace to end the show.
Oh, it pulled my heartstrings. I was just like, oh, happy ending. I love heartwarming endings. They got me.
So the Wolf of Wall Street is Drake Maverick. He ain't leaving.
Yes, good. I'm glad.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was like, because you put him through all of this stuff.
Right. Another solid episode of NXT.
It was. They had all the emotions and the comedy, and I was here for it.
Good go-home episode. The only people who really didn't have any interaction that were going to be on the takeover were Finn and Damian Priest. And I guess they were like, okay, we did enough last week with that Damian Priest promo and everything. That they didn't feel like they needed to, ramp that up anymore. But, this was great. Started out with the Mia and Candace, and then that went into the mixed tag and, ended up all the way through with Drake getting, a contract and a second chance at this. So a lot of fun.
Yeah. I enjoyed this episode very much. Yeah. I was here for everything that happened. It got my emotions with Drake. I love the Candace and Mia, and then turning into the mixed match. Love the brawl, because that's what I'm here for. Love seeing my man Kyle O'Reilly back. Miss you. Love the beard. Don't shave it. I was here. Great episode. Good job, NXT.
Yeah, it's good to see the return of Breezango, and they're going to be in a kind of a prominent spot in the next couple of weeks here leading up to their tag team match. I guess that'll probably be a TV match eventually.
I hope they get the title eventually, because they're really good. Yeah. I want them to at least have a good, nice little run with the title.
Yeah, Tyler Breeze is deserving of some sort of title. He's never held a title in NXT.
Right. Did he hold a title ever? Was he North American Championship or anything?
No, it was never with a single champion either. No.
Dang. Give my man something. He deserves it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So again, I like to reiterate to everyone, this Sunday, 7 p.m., join us. Please share your commentary with color on NXT TakeOver in your house. The hashtag will be #CastTakeOver for your commentary with color. So at this point in time, Miss Simi, it's your chance to give your shout-outs and thank yous.
Shout-out to you, Don. Shout out to Dee Dee and shout out to Samuel. Shout out to Kyle O'Reilly and his beard and his spiffy hat. And shout out to the listeners.
I'd like to give a shout out to Miss Simi for joining me once again. I'd like to give a shout out to all of the listeners here on the WrestleCast, everybody who listens to the CSPN religiously. Please continue to do so. Support the podcast, listen to the Dark Match, support our sponsors. I'm going to have to make an announcement that the podcast will probably be taking about a hiatus for about a month. Got a different living situation and limited internet access, so I need to see just how much damage recording through the hotspot is going to do for me. So we're going to probably take a little bit of a hiatus with the shows. Hopefully it won't be longer than a month. I'm projecting I should be back in a good place then. But until then, you can catch us on the live tweets and the hashtags. You know them very well. Rawcast. Yeah. NXT cast, Dynamite cast, SmackDown Matters. When it comes to the pay-per-views, I'll be definitely making sure I put those up in days and lots of tweets in advance so everybody can know, because I think that tentatively next week is Backlash, and I think it's going to be Backlash cast. I really think so.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that's gonna be our one for the main roster next week. So please continue to follow me on Twitter, follow the WrestleCast on Twitter, because that's where you'll be seeing all our thoughts, and I'll probably just do some recaps of what we watch just on, through Twitter, what I thought of the matches and things like that. So just bear with me for a few weeks, and then we'll have the content back up and running like you come to know and expect from us here at the WrestleCast and CSPN. So all right, Miss Simi. Yes, we will. I definitely appreciate you, and I will talk to you in the hashtags.
See you guys.
Bye.